This is URM. The Pulse.
We are unfortunately going to have to mention that dreaded word that we all thought we'd left behind. It's time to talk about a story that hails from the pandemic. Mr. Ben Mellor, would you like to deliver the story, please?
As now the BBC article loads, we have record alcohol deaths from pandemic drinking. And so, as the BBC reports, a record number of people died from alcohol last year, which is likely to be the result of increased drinking during the pandemic, according to the Office of National Statistics. There were 9,641 deaths in the UK in 2021, compared to 7,565 in 2019, a 27% increase. The ONS says people who were already big drinkers before the pandemic drank more during the COVID years. Charity Drink Aware said the numbers were devastating and unacceptable. The 2021 figures are alcohol-specific deaths, which are defined as a direct consequence of alcohol. Most are from alcoholic liver disease. They account for a third of all deaths linked to alcohol. And finally, in 2021, the UK rates of alcohol-specific deaths per 100,000 people were the highest in Scotland and the lowest in England. And so, sort of with this sort of more somber note, you know, do we think that this is one of the negative consequences of having COVID lockdowns? Obviously, the lockdowns are sort of hotly debated in terms of, obviously, the individual versus the collective good, you know, protecting the masses at the expense of the individual. You know, where do you guys sort of lie on that scale? You know, is this simply a consequence of lockdowns?
I mean, it's really interesting because I was actually quite shocked when I saw it, but then that was me taking a very sort of narrow-minded look in that I would say I basically stopped drinking through the lockdown. I didn't really have a reason to. Like when I was, so the first lockdown was halfway through my first year at uni, Cora. And obviously we were freshers. I was, you know, out to a club two nights a week, maybe a pub night as well as that mixed in there somewhere. I was drinking more than I'd ever drunk before when I was at uni. And then we went into lockdown and I was at home and I was like, oh, I can't really see anyone, there's no point. I'd had a few nights where we would sort of all go on Zoom and play drinking games and stuff with my friends from home. But I would say on the whole, this story surprised me, is that, I stopped drinking. I don't know what everyone else's opinion or like own take on it was at the time.
Well, I kind of think that what's happened is because the rates are so high are because the fact a lot of people would be social drinkers. They'd go out to a pub, they'll buy their drinks, they're limited by how much money they have. They're also limited by how other people are perceiving them. So if they look drunk enough, they would get kicked out and that's the end of their night. Whereas when you're at home, no one's there to stop you from drinking. No one's there to kind of help you if you're struggling with any mental health difficulties or if you're just having a bad day. So a lot of people will be turning to alcohol and will just keep drinking and not stop. And obviously it's a lot cheaper to just keep buying bottles from the supermarket than it is to be buying pints at the pub.
Yeah, that is very, very true. Now, Mr. Ben Mellor, you have an interesting perspective on this because you are pretty much don't drink at all, do you?
No, I'm completely teetotal.
Yeah. So, Cora, are you or not?
I very rarely drink.
Okay, so it's just me. That's wonderful. You're making me feel bad about life choices now.
I have seen drunk Cora, though.
We don't talk about that.
So, Ben O'May, in the pandemic, then, we'll take a slightly different perspective on it, despite the story is about, the alcohol-related deaths. Do you think it's possibly the bigger relation to the pandemic is not necessarily people that, you know, are big on alcohol and were big drinkers? I would say, is it not more likely that more people started drinking because of, you know, the isolation and the effect that it can have on mental health? And, you know, it's a bit stereotypical to say, like, oh, when you get sad and lonely, you just end up drinking or whatever, but it does happen, and it's, you know, it's a popular thing for, you know, TV shows and other films and whatever to exploit because it happens. Do you think there's an element of that that could be something that's not reported in this because this is a very alcohol-centric report, or do you think it is just more about the people like what Cora said, it was cheaper to drink at home, so why not?
Well, this is actually very similar to sort of a point I was going to make, in the fact that it's not people sort of being like, oh, I'm bored, I'll just drink alcohol because I'm bored, I've got nothing to do, I'm, you know, locked down. It's more of a case that being locked down exacerbated other issues, you know, like you mentioned with loneliness, that people then turn to alcohol as almost a vice to escape, in the same way that you know, people turn to drugs, they turn to cigarettes, you know, they also turn to alcohol, and that is very well documented, especially among men, especially among middle-aged men. And, you know, especially during lockdown, you know, like you say, well, your typical pub goer is sort of your middle-aged bloke, and many of them also already suffer with loneliness. And the lockdown simply exacerbated that and exacerbated the need for a vice to distract themselves from, you know, from whatever issues they were going through. And yeah, that, you know, that is sort of the bottom line of it, in my view. You know, it is sort of alcohol as a vice is what is leading to these deaths, because no one sort of, well, I imagine very few people sort of decide, oh, I'm just going to drink myself silly. It's more of a case that they use it as an escape, you know, in the same way that people use drugs as an escape, because alcohol, in a sense, is a drug. And I think also additionally as well, what is sort of notable in the results in the sort of analysis from, you know, the BBC article, is that quite literally the alcohol death rate amongst men, even like consistently from 2001 all the way, including the spike during COVID, consistently men have sort of double the death rate from alcohol, you know, to do with alcohol. And, you know, again, it sort of goes back to my point of sort of the mental health of sort of men and middle-aged men is severely neglected, and that's partly generational, sort of linking back to our generation discussion from earlier. And, you know, it is partly from loneliness. It's a whole hailstorm of factors that COVID exacerbated. And I suppose, you know, Ome, I'm also going to pass it over to you. You know, I'm not going to rant for the till the end of time.
Sorry.
Dropped her in.
Yeah, I agree with Ben. Like, I think that obviously some people were social drinkers and then they'll drink more because they're not looked at. But I think a lot of it was an escape of loneliness, mental health. Like, depression skyrocketed during the pandemic, everyone's locked in, so you do need that escape and like somewhere to go, and also it takes away from all your problems, so you're not thinking about it, you're just drunk, you're happy, you're carefree. And I think a lot of people wanted to do that, and then they realized, oh look, it actually, I'm not thinking about it, I'm going to continue. And that's probably what led to a lot of alcoholism deaths.
So one thing, there was a phrase that was that's often thrown around, that about like your tolerance to alcohol and whether you're a lightweight or you're a heavyweight and everything. Now, I would personally put myself in a middleweight category in that, but one thing that I did really notice is everyone, I said a few minutes ago that I thought that, you know, my approach was that people drink less. That's actually very, very naive of me, because I actually remember people going, oh, my tolerance has absolutely shot up throughout the pandemic and through lockdown and stuff. And I always remember going, that's really weird, because I think mine's got a lot lower, actually, because I didn't drink as consistently. So, again, that is probably something I should have remembered before I said earlier that I was surprised by it, because everyone was saying that their tolerance went up, which means they were drinking more. But what I wanted to touch back on again, Ben, but I'm not going to ask the question to you, I'm going to come to Cora. You said about the sort of, you know, masses versus the individual, and whether the lockdowns protected that, and it, you know, they never did a perfect job of it, and like that government never really did a perfect job of anything, but they did sort of try with the whole bubble system and things like that to accommodate for those that struggled with loneliness or mental health through those times, especially if they were living alone. Do you think then, Cora, that this is a really, really tough question, by the way, so I apologise.
This one, Ben, my English degree can help me. Throw it.
Ben mentioned whether they, you know, the lockdowns were the best system and solution. Now, it would have been difficult to, you know, because it spread like wildfire anyway, and we were all away from each other. This is a 2-year retrospective almost. What else could have been a better solution to stop the issues that rose because of lockdowns and the isolation of people turning to drink and, you know, suicide rates and domestic violence rates and all things like that. Is there any other way, or is it just is this report just a sad realisation that there's going to be more about different things but similar that come out to it as we move away from the pandemic and all of us and the figures and statistics are recorded and we're like, oh no, that's had a really big impact?
I think, unfortunately, it is most likely just another kind of database of sad statistics again, because unfortunately at the time the lockdowns were the only thing that seemed to actually have a big influence on the kind of COVID rates that were going around. And unfortunately, because of how many people we have in this country, different measures would have affected people differently. So there are people living alone who are single parents who would, of course, have to be on their own, but they did have the bubbles, which didn't get implemented until, I think it was like the second lockdown. It's all meshed together for me, so I'm not entirely sure. And I think that did help. But at the same time, the bubble system can work, but if the people in your support network aren't exactly the most healthy relationships you have going, that's not going to change the alcohol rates. It's not going to change the rates of abuse that skyrocketed over the pandemic, nor will it change the mental illnesses a lot of people faced, because it comes down to who are people surrounding themselves with. It also comes down to kind of your financial situation, your living circumstances and whatnot. And unfortunately, that's something that on a grand scale, the government could not change or implement something to resolve, because that would mean a lot more time would be spent on it. It would be kind of not an immediate measure that could resolve things. And yeah, unfortunately, I don't think anything else could have been done. Maybe putting the funding into developing the vaccine and ensuring that helplines for mental health and abuse were kind of fully functioning would have been better than going for a failed track and trace system. But that's just one thing I could think of retrospectively.
Before we move on to another song break, and then following that, our earnest giveaway, which is a Portland clothing bundle, by the way, so stick around for that as we head towards the end of the pause. I am going to ask one thing. So this is a report that came out from 2021, and obviously the lockdown ended in 2021, and you know, the pandemic didn't, coronavirus still a thing, but we moved back towards a more familiar state of normality. We are all at university, we're all students, and as we've just discovered, I am the only sort of semi-regular drinker out of the four of us sat in here. But being at university, do you think, and this is going to be a little bit difficult for you, Ome, because your first 2 years were...
No, my first year was in COVID.
Yeah, your first year was in COVID. So maybe not too difficult then, but it's only this year you've got to go on. Have you seen, there's always been a drinking culture at university, it'd be naive of us to, you know, say there isn't, but it's also something that I feel like is less important to university life than it has been in the past, quite possibly. I think that's a conscious effort from universities as a whole to try and get rid of that. But do you think there has been, you've seen an increase or felt an increase in pressure as three, you know, mainly non-drinkers to start drinking since the pandemic? Do you feel like people go even bigger on nights out than they have before? Or do you think it's no different, or has it even maybe got less?
I think I may be a very poor sort of frame of reference, simply because, unfortunately, before this year, my social life, shall we put it, left a little bit to be desired. But I think definitely as a non-drinker, there is a lot of pressure to drink, you know, at university, in terms of simply just for the social aspect of it, you know, sort of the whole cliche of sort of loosening up, you know. It's no fun, at least past 10 minutes to be the only sober person amongst a bunch of drunk people. And I think even within University Radio Nottingham, us, URN, you know, I think there is still, especially in a lot of the socials last year, there was that pressure to drink, and it, you know, it was sort of your gateway to get to know people. And I think it is difficult, you know, being teetotal in any society and just being in university in general. You know, it is difficult to have sort of a flourishing social life without drink. Thankfully, managed to strike that balance very well due to very nice board game nights with people who also don't drink. Big up Coraline Moynihan. But yeah, I can't necessarily comment on whether the pressure's increased, but I can definitely say that the pressure is still there.
We're on campus and we're online.
We're online.
University
Radio
Nottingham.